Forever! Dog!
Look, Matt.
Where?
Oh, I see. Wow. Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that
culture? Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
Wow, okay.
It's been a while.
And you're already attacking me.
You have not...
Seconds into me seeing you once again.
Because you haven't expressed any interest in coming to see my new apartment.
I have expressed optimal interest in doing so. It's just that you were at Sudi's house when I came back off the plane. And I, by the way, it was a lot for me to come right from the plane to my friends because it was late at night and I was drenched in a humid sweat.
You're embellishing by omission. You're leaving out the fact that you went home first, and then that was a harrowing
because
thing.
I had three bags. It was harrowing.
You walked into a new toilet.
Okay, so this is what happened, listeners. So here's the deal with my apartment in Greenpoint. It has a roof in the bathroom, or the ceiling in the bathroom will constantly cave in.
Constantly.
And I don't know what to do or say about it because I tell my landlords and they fix it. Mm-hmm. I'm doing air quotes, reader.
Yeah.
And then I come back and it will have caved in once again. And by caved in, I mean like it leaks.
Yes.
And so I get back. I've been in Los Angeles for about 5 months. I get back to my apartment. It is sweltering hot. I'm already devastated. Mm-hmm. Since you know in Los Angeles, it's very dry.
It's very dry.
Very dry. Big difference.
Mm.
So then I walk into my bathroom. It is so hot. And clearly the ceiling has caved through and they fixed it again. But what they didn't fix was the entire floor of my bathroom was covered in what I can only describe as like liquid garbage. And the toilet bowl itself was filled. And so then I went over to Sudi's and saw you. And you are attacking me for not coming to see your place. But you've been very busy too.
I have been busy.
I want to come over.
We'll do it tonight. Oh, but you're going to... some show.
I'm gonna go do a show at the Bell House, but okay. I'm gonna come out. I'm gonna come over. Your energy. You attack.
I'm giving none.
You have the cougar attack.
No.
Have the attack. You have the instinct of a cougar.
I'm feeling very.
You feel disconnected.
No, I feel so overwhelmed. I want to say so much. We have so much we haven't talked about.
I want to say, first of all, I just want to say it is so crazy that we have our guest
it's
today.
It's so crazy that we have our guest.
We're going to get to it in just minutes. But I have been...
Didn't we?
I have been in a state of anxiety.
I think you and I have
in
had...
In a positive state of anxiety.
No, but you and I would have these like...
What?
We had an hour-long conversation way back, season one of Glow.
Solely about our guests.
We were just like, oh my God.
So can I tell you something that...
Yes.
First I want to say one thing.
Yes.
Wait, no, I want to discuss it with the guests. So
okay,
never mind.
Okay.
When you say our guest's name in a group of gay men...
Oh my God.
Everything stops. The water runs dry.
Oh, you know
we what? It becomes like the moon and the sun can't figure out who should be in the sky.
Can I out this really mean game that you LA gays play?
You LA gays,
I was there in January, and then we went out one night, and oh no, this was March. We went out one night, and all these LA gays were playing this game called
Star
or Good Actress. Is that what it is?
It's where you say actress or star.
And so one of these...
Use an example, because our guests will be humiliated.
Like, some gay man in a circle will say an actress's name.
Go ahead,
and then
say it. Sandra Bullock.
I was going to say Amy Adams, because this was like a really, really divisive, polarizing one.
Okay.
People were like, some people were like, she's a good actress, she's not a star. And then I was
ridiculous
like, she's
to me.
Both.
I think she's both. I think Amy is brilliant and both.
But this is just to illustrate it. So the catty discourse that we apply to all these women.
First of all, I literally, this is a roundabout way of saying, if you were to say the name of our guest, you would say actress and star.
Oh, just
100%.
Breaking the meter.
Can I say something about, okay, so this, it's my favorite performance on television is Betty Gilpin and Glow.
I can name a scene that I keep watching, but you go.
You say the scene after I say this.
Okay.
It's the fact. I don't say this lightly. It's Streepian to access like bigness, mm-hmm. and like theatricalness, mm. and also deliver the small.
Oh.
And that's why I love Glow. It's like, and it's unlike any other show on television
I
because
love it.
It's so interior, but it's also like the whole point is how exterior it is. Does that make sense?
I absolutely, that absolutely
she's
tracks.
Gotta
yes,
go.
No, she's staying.
I said the word streepian and she's gotta go. But I actually said to Louis Fertel, I was like, don't you get streep vibes? And he said, yes.
Absolutely.
And you're worshipped.
And
it's deservedly so.
So,
And we had to get that out of the way because now we can have a normal conversation.
We can have a normal conversation. I just have to say.
Go.
Hospital scene.
Yes.
Two.
You have, and before I watched it, you had been saying.
And I had told you, I was like, you gotta watch out for this hospital scene.
Yeah, it was so good.
And then
breaking point.
I'm not gonna do the reading.
No, don't. Don't ever do that. It's actually real culture number 10.
Don't ever do the reading. Now, I'll do it by myself in my apartment just to practice placement.
Just to practice what? Placement of vocals?
We
are gagging right now.
Oh my God, it's the most beautiful.
We are gagging for her.
So everyone please welcome.
Wait. What? I want to say one more thing. Because now I have my favorite.
Yes.
The scream of grief.
Uh-huh.
In episode 4, when like, okay, so episode 4 of season 2 of Glow, there is a moment where her daughter, unquote, gets taken.
Okay.
And she just, the screams of pure grief.
Yes.
Like the performed grief, I can't. It's just so good.
I
love the show.
Okay.
I love our guests.
And this must be kind of irritating.
It's not irrititating, I don't think.
I think
we
it's
love.
A little great, but we love her so much. So please welcome into your ears,
Betty Gilpin!
Holy shit.
Wow.
I'm actually shaking. And my heart is pounding.
Come on. I don't get it.
I am a huge fan. And
oh my
in
word.
This hyperbolic world where we all have to give each other compliments we don't mean, it's all over the top. Then you look in the mirror at the end of the day and you're like, what did I just say to people I don't even like? I found you guys a couple months ago.
Oh my
and
God.
At a time where it's been like a year of basically like loneliness in hotel rooms.
Darkness.
And, so some darkness, but also like fun, but being away from like my people and really missing them and stumbling upon you guys and just like writhing in joy.
Oh
I mean,
God.
I now can't listen to you on planes because I'll be escorted off the plane.
Oh, come on.
I just, it's biblical what I feel for you guys.
Oh
it's,
my God.
It's crazy. My heart was pounding in the car over here. I've been waiting for this for months.
That is so unbelievable. Well, first of all, thank you for saying that.
That's...
But we are like, I mean, you are truly like you are, when we even said, we were like, where the fuck has this person been? Like, first season of Glow,
crying in my apartment. It's been a decade.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
But you've been out there,
but like, this is like such a great showcase. Like, and
thanks.
I feel like it's our first time meeting you. So I feel like.
So we're just really like piling it on, but anyway.
Thank you. And listener, if you're out there and don't agree, I'm with you. I'm on your
side.
Can you imagine watching this show and not being like, I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know
God.
About Betty.
No. Oh, we should mention new season 3, August 9th.
Yes. August 9th.
Yep.
Netflix.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. And also Gina Davis is going to be on.
It's crazy.
It has to be crazy.
It was insane. And we first met her like... Allie, Brie, and I were in full Liberty Bell and Zoya, and we were walking outside in a parking lot,
God,
and our
Allie
shadows,
Brie.
Like the sun was behind us and casting these crazy shadows of our crazy silhouettes.
Uh-huh.
My hair is like,
wild.
You know, insane. And in comes this car in the parking lot. We were like, I don't know how I know this, but that's Gina Davis.
Yeah.
And like our shadows are like 30 feet long. She drives up to us and like we all just start, she rolls down the window. She's just like starts laughing. And I was like, burst into tears.
Oh my God.
That was crazy.
Has she been like one of your mains for a long time? Like,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. I think actress and star.
Yes.
Oh my God.
And you know,
gonna play that.
I will say this, actress and star. Can you imagine? Actress and star and also A League of Their Own. One of the most underrated films,
yes.
I think, should have been nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah.
Like, that is such a, honestly, a sort of pre-Glow.
Yes.
In many ways.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like she's one of those people where you look back at some female performances where you're like, okay, star. And then you go back and watch it and you're like, actress. Like, your feet are 1,000 feet deep into the earth.
100%.
And, yeah. I mean, she's amazing.
And also, I'm remembering, it's like, she's so strong that whole movie. And then when her husband comes back, spoiler alert for A League of Their Own, I guess.
Wow.
But when her husband comes back and there's that break and it's just, you realize how much tension she's had the whole time. It's like, that's work.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
God. Gina.
And Madonna and Rosie
Madonna
are great.
Madonna and Rosie.
And Rosie turns into fun performance.
She yeah. really does. Yeah. I was a huge Rosie show fan.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Big
oh.
time. Went to a taping.
You did?
Yes.
Did you ever, remember when those people, they would throw to those people and they'd be like, hi, I'm so-and-so from so-and-so.
Oh, yeah.
That wasn't you, was it?
No, no.
Yeah, okay.
But we all got Jerry Maguire VHSs under our seats because of her huge crush on
Tom Cruise. Oh, my God. Yeah. Imagine being, imagine like writing the 90s. It's like you're at the Rosie show and you get Jerry Maguire on VHS is the joke that you write.
Write the 90s. Oh, that's funny because Jerry Maguire was kind of the first movie I saw as a kid that I was like, oh, I'm watching Tom Cruise and who is it?
Kelly Preston
have sex.
Yes.
And for some reason, I'm only interested in looking at Tom.
Wow. Right. A turning point.
So for me, that was like an imprinting of like, oh, I'm gay. But for Rosie, it was like, I'm taking cover behind this in the closet.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
That anyway, was the movie that was the first movie that Bowen's parents took him to that was R-rated. You told me this.
No, that's not true.
Yes, wow. You did. You said that was an R-rated film they took you to.
They didn't take me. They rented it from Blockbuster.
Oh, well, then it was the first one that you watched with your parents that was R-rated.
That's
and
quite
it
a
was,
movie to watch with
it
your
was
parents.
A big one.
Yeah.
And the next one was Scary Movie. And then, anyway, this isn't interesting. Oh, my God. Wait.
Everything you say is interesting to me.
Betty.
Literally.
Damn it.
I gotta, like, just take it down. I was rehearsing in my head.
Oh, my
what?
God.
What on
yes.
earth?
I mean, like the question. I was like, "What's my answer gonna be?" The question. I was like, "No. It can't sound rehearsed. You
no,
just
no, 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 no.
I mean,
see,
ooh,
whatever when, you say. It
and
would
in
be
my in my research on you today and yesterday, I was like, "Wow, she could say so many things," because you have quite the hist, Ori.
And then what are
you
talking about? Personal history that
personal
would relate
history.
To culture.
Oh. By the way, I just want to say shout out to my friend Gus Hickey, who you went to high school with.
Went to high school
God.
With.
Yeah.
Yep. We did a production of Wonderful Town together. I love him so much. He was in my brother's class. I feel like I was a senior when he was a freshman.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah. Okay. So we were hanging out. We went to Oil Can Harry's in LA. Shout out Oil Can Harry's. Mm. And I remember before we went, I was talking to him, and I mentioned that you were going to come on the show because this is when we received word that you were coming on, and I was so excited. He's like, I went to high school with her. We were in the musical together. I was like, she sings? He goes, does she sing?
Oh.
Does she sing?
I'm bored with the narrative of an actress being like, I don't sing. And then a second later being like, ooh.
Yeah.
But I don't, like, I have a coffee shop voice. I would so much rather hear a mezzanine voice any day of the week.
So you're saying it's a voice that is, at this table, we're all going to be entranced and enchanted.
No, I'm saying that I could give you like a pitchy Moon River on my own time.
I see.
But I couldn't give you 8 shows a week, like a pop belt. Like I saw Oklahoma last night.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen it?
I haven't seen it.
Oh my God.
Is it stunning?
Well, first of all, my high school ex-boyfriend from when I was 15 is the lead.
Oh,
and
fuck.
His voice is so crazy.
Wait, your ex-boyfriend from high school?
Yeah.
Plays what's his face?
Curly.
Curly,
yeah.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And he had a voice in high school, but it's turned into, I mean, it's the sexiest ghost you've ever heard.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Mm. Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
I just feel like only people who are really good, like you have a fucking crazy
stop
voice.
It now.
You do,
Matt.
You do. And
come
control.
That's
and
nice.
Your ear is crazy.
Oh, thanks.
Like, it's, I'm not interested in like a ukulele 4-note range. And that's what I have.
Well, you know what though? Here's the thing though. Like, well, first of all, I want to ask, how was Allie Stroker?
Oh my God.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So
we went to school with us.
We knew her in college. We Whoa. Didn't, did we know her?
She was playwrights. And and so she would be like the parties I would go to. And she was always like the. You would just gravitate towards
yeah,
her.
She's
yeah,
she's a star. And yeah, she was a star yeah, even in college. And like, with the craziest voice.
No. NYU.
NYU.
Yeah. NYU. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did you say Skidmore once?
Well, because we used to go to Skidmore Comedy Festival.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But we weren't to NYU. We went to the, what do you call it?
The real estate firm NYU. Yeah.
I like Celebrity Daycare.
Celebrity
NYU.
Daycare. And then the other one, the third one in the pattern is Multi-Complex Headshot Studio. or multi-something. Anyway.
But
Allie was great.
Allie, I cannot wait to see it because I heard she's amazing.
It was a real, I mean, I too have been away from New York for a long time. It's been almost a full year away. Mm-hmm. And I grew up here and live here and love it so much and whatever, have my struggles, but like it was the first night, like New York night back. Mm-hmm. And I met up with my best friend, Ryder Doyle.
Ryder!
Is Ryder in town?
Yes, in
town. Oh my God, well,
oh, maybe that's a secret. Sorry, Ryder.
He's hiding amongst the peeps. No. He's everywhere. I look at his Instagram and I'm like, where are you?
I know.
Yeah.
He's all over the map.
Yeah.
But like going to Oklahoma and just from lights up, sobbing. Like I've been feeling like, I don't know, there are so many aspects to this fucking business.
Yeah.
And I've definitely been, I feel like away from, I think that's why I found your podcast at the exact right time. I've just felt a little far away from, you know how in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. you can find yourself like around a sect of humanity that's like, oh, you're like, oh, it's not bad, but you got into this for different reasons than I did.
Absolutely.
And it's not bad. And I used to be kind of elitist and judgmental about it, but that mm-hmm, is my mm-hmm. thing and not theirs.
Right, right, right.
But I feel like sometimes there's like crashing reminders of why you love this.
Right.
Yeah.
And I feel like that was, I don't know, Oklahoma.
Well, right. No, because there's like when you're watching theater, I think like it would be really hard to fake that you love it. But when you're watching a group of people who really love what they're doing,
right,
you feel that. And mm-hmm. like special theater productions like that. Like that's kind of like the Jimmys the other night when I was there. I was like, what I love about this is that there are like 60 kids on stage right now who are so excited.
Yeah.
And they love what they do so much. And they know this is such a moment.
Yes.
And this, the purpose with which they walked on the stage and the, when they announced the finalists, like how excited they were for each other. And like, and just then watching them come out and like take center and just do that. Yeah. And like, they all were so good. And it's just that I think goes a little bit away.
Yeah.
And I hate to talk like I'm like 59,000 years old.
You get
but
sort
it's
of
like,
calloused by the industry.
Right, right. And so that is, I was, when I was reading today, you had a quote that said, you know, you did the theater to like feed your soul.
Right.
And then you did like your little gigs to, you know, pay for your rent and stuff like mm-hmm, that. So mm-hmm. it's like, is it hard to find like joy in those things that are like, okay, we're going to cut. Now we're going to take a lunch for 6 hours, et cetera.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the thing that I'm feeling these days is like, it's, I feel like the stages are like, okay, you find your people and find what you want to do. And then there's this chunk of time where you do it just with and for your people.
Yeah.
And be like, God, isn't this going to be so amazing when it goes out into the next stratosphere and into the world that I can't wait till that happens for us. And then when it happens,
oh my God,
you're kind of like, this is amazing. But oh, now like everyone that used to be receiving this were my friends and received it like with such care and attention, like and knew me, and you know, it can feel like you're writing this little like scroll of like, here's who I am, and sending it out to the world. And when your friends are receiving it, they're like, got it, know exactly what mm-hmm. like, yes, I see you exactly for who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And when it gets to a different plane of like, okay, now I'm sending it out to a bigger chunk of the world, mm-hmm. like there's a chunk of the world that's like, I'm bored, or like, oh, this is what it is. And you're like, oh no, that's not what the scroll says. Wait, you're getting it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
What was the
What you're saying is so 100% dead on, mm-hmm. and it's. I'm thinking right now, like sometimes we get just like the right guest at the right exact time because
I know,
like
I'm hearing this exactly.
Something that like I could cry because something that like I feel like is going on right now is like. You're having like you're so much success and like it's starting to like I'm starting to work a little bit more and it's like we live on different coasts now a lot of the mm-hmm. time and it's like when we started doing this it was like truly so that we could like do 90 minutes together just to like play together.
Yes. Yeah.
And the, you know, as things change a little bit over time, like that you have to work to make those things still feel right there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because it's the greatest gift and the greatest curse to do what you love or to be sending out that thing that you've been dreaming of sending out, because sometimes it feels like soul church and sometimes it feels like you're stage momming a part of yourself that doesn't want to be there anymore.
Yeah. Oh,
and I feel like the benefit of doing stuff not for the world is like what I'm feeling right now is like, when I feel like a scene is going well, it's like the one time in my fucking crazy ass brain where there's no checkpoints of people being like, whoa, 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 is that the right choice? Whoa, 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 that's too big. Whoa, that's too weird. Like, if a scene's going well, it's a perfect clear highway from my brain out my mouth. Mm-hmm. And knowing that there's a result or people who may not necessarily get me or not like me, or like when I think about the comments section or whatever, then there's like 10 new checkpoints, and it makes the work shitty. Mm-hmm. And I needed to come back to New York.
100%. It's a complication that comes up when people can receive what you're doing.
Right.
Yeah.
10 new checkpoints. Let's just say, you see the comment section. It's 10 new checkpoints that are like permanently posted up in your brain at this point. Or no, it just takes a while for them to like go away.
Yeah, takes a way to kill them. A while to kill. I mean, like, it could take 5 minutes or it could take a little while. But like, it's...
No, that's so interesting. I mean, I want to ask you, like, what is your ideally calibrated ratio of like, well, not ratio, but like your distribution of like, let's say there's no checkpoints. Mm-hmm. What's your ideally calibrated ratio distribution of, I don't even want to break it down. No, I was going to ask a really basic question of like TV or stage and film, you know, but what is like, right now, Betty Gilpin, what, it's June 25th, 2019. What's your ideal sort of platonic ideal place for your career?
I mean, I guess I'm, this sounds so gross. No. I'm right now at a point where I'm in uncharted territory where I'm like a little nervous about, I'm a big person, like out loud, I'll be like, I only want this. Mm-hmm. And I've definitely gotten past that point because I out loud was like, you know, if I'm on one episode of a multicam and can help take out the recycling at a casting office, I'll be happy, being like, I have dreams.
Right.
And like, so I guess I'm just feeling like, okay, this is a tangent. My mom had a sister with Down syndrome, and she loved the Museum of Natural History, but was terrified of the big dinosaur skeleton in the lobby.
Yeah.
But loved the rest of the museum, and that's how I'm feeling about lesbianness. Wow. That like, so they her family would put an overcoat over her head and like stiff arm run her through the lobby to get to the rest of the museum, and I'm like, okay, there are parts of this business that I feel are actually like hurting me and eating my brain.
Yeah,
for 100%. Real. Like, I feel it happening. I see it happen where success can make you dumber, sadder, not like yourself also, or like yourself a lot in a way that's gross.
Gross.
Yeah.
You stop listening.
Yep.
Like all the things that I think like make a good actor or a good person. And I'm like, okay, Betty, what you need to like figure out what parts you just need to put a coat over your head and run through it and not look or listen.
Yeah.
So I mean, literally whatever is I don't know, happy and healthy.
I love that. Because you know what? Because it's like your mother's sister.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have,
sorry to mention you want Mary. R.I.P.
Sorry. But like there's like some things are not like exposure therapy necessarily. You don't gain anything out of like confronting it or just like being in its presence for like a long enough time. Like you truly don't get anything out of, like your mom's sister wouldn't have like overcome her fear of the dinosaur.
Right.
She just actually looked at it. It's like, no, like sometimes you just,
no, those things are scary.
Sometimes you just fully get yourself out of that space. I don't know.
But it's also hard for me, and I wonder if this for you, me fake knowing you guys through listening to all your podcast episodes.
No, you know us.
You know us.
Okay, great.
We're out here.
It's for me, hard to navigate what comes in my life, and especially career-wise, like what comes from shame and what comes from, oh, I just don't want to do that part.
Yeah.
Like having a public Instagram. I don't have a public Instagram.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, are you hiding or are you just not wanting to do that part? Is it like...
Right.
10-year-old terrified Betty, or is it like 16-year-old with a camel light in her mouth being like, I'm not fucking doing that part?
Sure.
No, but that's something that I think about all the time is like, why do I put so much effort into the Instagram?
I know, me too. I know.
You know what I mean?
But it's just, for comedians, it's different.
For comedians, sure. It's different, but it's sort of that same thing where it's like, well, to be totally honest, like, I don't think either of us ever thought, well, we'll be out here as a personality.
I know.
Like, I never thought everyone would, like, I kind of, when I was young, I had, like, those kind of dreams of, like, I'll be an actor. Like, that's what I wanted to do mm-hmm. and still want to do. I mean, like, I don't think those things are super interchangeable now.
Right.
But it is that thing of, like, the comment section can be rough. And the dinosaur in the lobby for me is probably, like, feeling like people are going to decide they like hate me before they
right.
can know what I can do.
Right,
you know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we've decided to kind of come at it from a personality standpoint. So I think the fact that you don't have like a public Instagram or like out there just kind of like headlines
right.
is probably, it's fine because at the end of the day, it's like, that just shows like you care about the work so much and you put so much into the work.
Yeah.
And it shows, and you're right, that stuff can get in the way of creating good material. I mean, it really can.
Or just, I mean, I feel like it's prevalent in a certain city that you and I have been all in. That it's, I watch people's brains just leave, just go. Because I do also think that, also, yes, the part where you're just creating work with just you and your friends is so fun, but it's also painful. You feel invisible and like you're like, why is that person being seen by the world and not, or whatever, that's a bitter way to look at it. But
no,
there's
but that's
so
the
many
way
times.
People look. Yeah.
There's so many times where you just feel so small and so like, oh man, this is like trotting my soul out and putting tap shoes on, or like this is this hurts today.
Yeah.
Because no one wants it. And then when it's accepted, that validation hit is so, you're like, okay, if whatever it takes to continue this feeling. Mm-hmm. And I think like something that I love about theater and that I love about your guys' podcast is like, it's a constant, one foot is in the river of like, baby, this is all a joke. Like, life is a joke.
Yeah.
Look under the carpet. There's maggots. Isn't that hilarious?
Yeah.
And then another foot in the river of, I believe in magic. Like, like, this world is so beautiful. Let's sing.
Yeah.
Like, this is, you know, there's a magic circus underbelly to everything. And there's maggots under there. But look, there's sparkles under here.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like those are both involve risk and being like alt or whatever.
Yes.
And I think it's so easy to realize, oh, validation feels so good. I'm going to move away from the alt weird stuff and just into this like center circle being of like not listening and having vocal fry and my jokes not being funny anymore.
Oh, shit.
This sort of idea of like, nothing matters, it's all fake, so let's have fun.
Right.
It exists a lot less in Los Angeles. There is a lot more cynicism there.
Well, because you know,
like, it's a little darker. You know what I mean? As lovely as it is and as much as I love being there, it is a little darker. And I think it's because everyone is very close to an industry that is like famously tough.
Yeah,
and it's like
they
kind of take some... it's almost like there's like a pleasure in the pain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whereas
right.
like I feel lucky because we have had a community to like sort of develop in, and it has luckily been like a loving community where, and this is so bizarre to even say now, but I do kind of like think that the rise of this sort of like joy in comedy, at least in our experience, and drag sort of come together. Like, I didn't understand this whole sort of thing of like everything's fake until I heard RuPaul say everything's fake.
Yeah. Right.
I was like, wait, oh my God, yes. That's what drag is. It's what I'm doing, you're doing, you're doing. It's
right.
like we're all kind of pretending to be these things. And
right.
sometimes I think that can, it's interesting to see that idea become so mainstream and so beloved because it directly sort of conflicts with this industry.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I mean, I think it's why the camp theme at the Met Ball was so, they so just missed the mark.
Yeah. They said so insane.
They couldn't say this is all a joke because if we're saying it's all a joke, then that's their Bible. The Met Ball is the thing.
Yeah.
And you can't be like, this doesn't matter. And you also can't be like, and it's magic because magic is too vulnerable and big of a choice.
No, but like, it's this tautologically flawed thing where it's like the Met Ball is people taking themselves seriously and camp is about celebrating bad taste and not, you know, not taking yourself seriously. But anyway, but what Betty's describing with like maggots or magic, it's like that's,
oh my god, title of that.
That's like not to be all like Brene Brown and shit, but like that's like full, like that's, I think that is like the definition of vulnerability, of just not knowing what the outcome of something will be.
Yeah,
like, of like every day being like a Schrodinger's cat of like either the cat's alive or the cat's dead. Mm-hmm. I'm putting up in this box. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm coming into the situation not knowing.
Right,
and like that's kind of what's like missing from maybe this other city where people are just like thinking they can hack the system to be like, well, I know that the cat's dead, and so I'm gonna bitch about the cat being dead.
Yeah, it's so funny.
Does that
like,
track? Does that make sense?
It does. Like, okay. The sense of humor is a little bit different there.
Of course, it's fine.
And this
great.
Is not a read. I've just noticed that, like, sometimes, like in interactions I have with people, the sense of humor will be a little bit more not mean, but like it's a little bit more like. You know what I mean? It's a little bit, there's a little bit more shit talkiness.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is like, you know, like I lightly participate in every now and then. We're all having fun, but it's like, it's just, I don't experience it here that
much.
Did you
watch Nicole Silverberg's video on Twitter?
The video, which was
jokes in 90% of jokes in every movie are these. And then it's just a super cut of her just like talking to it, like her, the camera.
Yeah.
And it's just jokes that are like, let's go shopping. Yeah. No, I get to say that. You don't get to say that. I get to say that. Or then it's like these non-jokes that are like, don't bring up the hair. It's a hi. And it's like all these like kind of pseudo, they're not actual jokes.
Right.
But it's like, that's like what, that's what some people's idea of like
humor
is to be like
snarky.
No.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Okay. Another reason that I clung to your podcast was I feel like I was in that world so hard of this. There's this thing, this is the first time in my life where I've had to do press for stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And it is a world of people treating not funny people like they're comedians.
Yes.
When you say something like, oh, sorry, I was late. It was raining outside. I'm soaking wet. And people are like, oh
my God, you're so hilarious grounded. Queen. You're the most hilarious queen.
You're like, that wasn't. Or once I answered the door for hair and makeup in like a sheet mask.
Uh-huh.
And I opened the door, and it was as if I did 15 minutes, like I'm George Carlin. Like they laid down in the hallway. I was like, this is not, what's
this
happening?
Is not
oh my
to
God.
Scale.
Yeah.
That is so
funny.
And so when I first listened to your podcast, I was like, these are funny people. These are, oh my God.
Oh my God.
You're going to save my brain.
Here's a question I have. When you do go on those like late night shows, are they totally rehearsed beforehand? Are they like, this is what you talk about, then this?
I mean,
not to shatter illusion, but I do
want to
know.
So I've now done 3 late night talk shows, and the first two, talk about checkpoints. It's like I did Colbert and then Kimmel.
Wow.
And then I just recently did Kimmel like last week.
Uh-huh.
And they call you a couple days before.
Segment producers, like, what do you want to talk about?
Yeah. And you kind of like trot out your story to them, and they're like, okay, tell that one. Like, okay. And you know, I also feel like in the theater setting, there's so like, you never talk about the result. You never talk about the fact there's going to be an audience. It's very like, try in the room and then, you know, see what happens. It's so like, quote unquote, not result based. And then like the silent, like superstitious thing is like, and then there's going to be an audience. And that kind of thing, talk shows or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure joke writing, it's, you have to be cognizant of the results.
Right,
because
right.
Whatever. But I tried to, for the first two, be like, la, 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 la. I don't want to know. I'm pretending there's not a segment producer. I'm pretending this isn't planned. And I'm just going to like go and make it up as I go along. And I did the first two. And the third, the one I did last week, the second I sat down, I was like, comment section. There are people poised over there. Keyboards, they've already said, look at her ears, she deserves the death penalty.
No.
And it was
the inner saboteur kicked in.
Yes. And it didn't go great. Like it was fine, but I was very nervous, and it felt like that feeling of the 10-year-old me being like, hey, you're stage momming me into this and I don't want to be here anymore. And I told like a story that was like important to me. And it, I was like, oh, I wish I'd told. This is why people tell fake stories.
Yeah.
Because you're saving a part of yourself or whatever. So it just felt kind of like gross and sad.
Well, for what it's worth, I mean, I didn't see your most recent Kimmel appearance, but I thought your Colbert and your last Kimmel appearance, this is what these interviews used to be, and like this is kind of perfect. And anyway, so interesting that like the fact that you clocked that you were telling yourself comment section and I'm stage momming this part of me that doesn't want to be here. That's crazy that you're putting to words this thing that I feel all the time where I'm like, I am just
I always know
present,
this,
but not actually present.
Right. The second before something happens, I always know if it's like, it's so funny.
Yes,
like
I knew the
there's
second,
that
yes,
moment before
yes.
you go on stage or something.
Where you're like, I'm gonna kill
like,
or this
I'm gonna
gonna
kill
yes.
or I'm gonna be yes. awful. And so lately over the past 2 years, I think I've been a little bit better at just being like, even if that voice pops up, it's like, well, you know that voice is gonna make you do badly, so defeat it right now.
Yes, yes.
And I'll be better about that. But sometimes you just get in that funk, and that is so interesting. I think it's like a performer's instinct where it's like,
right.
ooh, I know better, but we're here, and I'm a human, and we're being very human out here.
Yeah.
So.
Because there's an element of performance. You can work as hard as you, or prepare. There's so much up to chance and just what's in the air or, you know, what part of your brain is asleep or awake, like if the right parts are asleep and awake and there's, you can't control it. You could do things to hurt it, but it's, I mean, I'm so terrified that something's going to happen. I'll read the wrong thing. I'll meet the wrong, where the acting part will just fall out.
Has that happened?
Well, there was like a This American Life about a baseball pitcher who was like a World Series pitcher, and one day this is great, horrible, so in his head, and he stopped being able to throw the ball to a person
For the rest of his life.
No, holy fuck! Can you even?
Oh no, this is gonna fuck me up.
No, I'm sorry.
Now it's in our heads. We're like, we could be that at any time.
No,
but this is a thing though. Like that thing of like when you rehearse.
No.
I have done this. Like, oh god. Like this. You know when?
Go. Come on.
So
no judgment. Kill those checkpoints.
So had a big audition once.
Yeah.
Major.
Great.
And like had rehearsed relentlessly. And then you get out there and it's just like you remember how big it is, and you can either say it's that fight or flight.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just pick that second thing, and it's sometimes I think it's just because that wasn't meant to be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll always leave, like especially audition experiences.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that is a high stakes thing. Are you a good auditioner?
No. I try to self-tape whenever I can.
Yep.
And I tape my iPhone to my window and tape the sides next to the iPhone.
Smart.
And record my own voice with the other lines.
And you send that in with you reading with you?
That. Yes.
And that's...
I've been called on it like twice. It's the only time I've booked off tape. Because when someone else is there, I'm like, we can be done. That's fine.
Yeah,
let's just send that one.
I get like that too.
Yes. This is the way to audition. You will book constantly. Because tape your phone to the window, the sun blows out all the years of hard living for those of us who need it. And you literally tape your sides here next to the phone and read them. It looks like you are 100% off book.
Oh,
you can't see the eyes reading. It's crazy. I've done like monologues where and then you just change your eye line to this page. I mean, it's cuckoo.
You're goddamn genius.
That is huge to know.
Yeah.
Because honestly, I'm always like, freaked out because I can never get anyone to come over.
Right.
Like, we always usually do it together, but.
Yeah.
And
I would put you guys on tape anytime.
Stop.
I love
now
it.
We know.
I love it.
But I would be like the person to be like, okay, we can just do two and we're done. You know, like, I would just, and I do just kind of get crazy when there's an audience. When there's an audience of just one.
Yes.
But it's just me though. We're always good together.
But you give me like really good feedback, and for some reason, and this is bad, this is just a bad confession, for some reason like I sometimes I fear it, that I'm like, God, I'm really fucking up and Matt is watching me eat shit. Yeah.
It's me.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Oh, God.
You're my good
best friend, my number one.
My good best friend.
I will say this. I actually do better. Like, one time, Sudi and Bowen put me on tape, and I actually felt like I did better because I was performing instead of doing this in front of one person.
Yes.
Right.
Like, I prefer an audience to just one person. I just actually, Sudi just put me on tape something when we were in Nantucket. And it was literally me. Sudi got like an award for SNL in Nantucket. And so they put her up in this like nice thing. And I was like, just like doing my tape in this like luxe atmosphere. Yeah. And I felt like they were going to watch it and be like, where the fuck is he?
You'll probably book it. They're like, he's in a luxe atmosphere. We got to get him.
Wow, that was great. He booked a luxe atmosphere for the tape.
Wait, I got to try this Sides to the Window.
I will too.
It'll change everything.
And also, you don't have to bother anyone.
Totally. Although my old managers made me buy like the phone tripod, I don't mind.
Greta has that
I need to do that. The like amount of pain it takes to scotch tape my iPhone to a window. It's scotch tape.
Yeah. You said this thing on, not to quote your own interviews back, because that is kind of like an eye roll, but I mean, this thing that stuck with me is that it was the Sam Jones on camera show, and it was, you guys were talking about auditioning, and then, and specifically with Liberty Bell, with Glow, with Debbie, with Glow, you just talk about this sort of this attachment that happens when you come across a character, mm-hmm. or something that you're just like, wow, I really hope I fucking get
this. I love reading about that audition that you had with Allison.
Yeah.
Yes. Who, by the way, is as lovely and amazing as we all think.
Yes.
Duh. Yeah.
I feel so bad for sidebar that people nowadays have to like perform a friendship. Like when they're doing, they're being like, and we're best friends. Like, I really feel for the queer eye guys. Like,
because it can't possibly be.
But Ali Bree and you. No.
I'll show you we are like, it's crazy. Yeah. I love her so much.
And so you guys met at the audition
in Toronto
for like your callback audition?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I had read, it was like, that was like my fifth audition for it, I think.
Oh my God.
I'd gone a bunch in, I made a tape. And also a thing I'll do is like, I'll do the scenes and then I'll do like a weird, like ripping off you guys, like a weird video, like a Laurenster video, like Kat Cohen rip off video of like me as the character or whatever, like being weird. Like that was the last 2 years. I was like, fuck it. Because there had been so many times where I saw myself on the page and it didn't work out. Girls, Veep, Orange is the New Black. Many things that I was
Piper,
like, here
right
we go.
For Orange is the New Black?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, I auditioned once, but I was well, here we go.
Yeah,
this is the one. And they were like, no feedback.
Oh, no.
Okay. And so I was like, okay, if the audition is going to be the only time I get to be with this person, then let's just like make it weird. But yeah, I was then filming something in Toronto and they flew her out there, which was like my social anxiety nightmare.
Yeah, for sure.
That they fly Alison Brie out. Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm doing like a guest star episode on something and she's like this gorgeous movie star and has to come to Toronto. I mean, I was like, I'm so sorry. And I remember they told us to wear like athletic clothes. And I was like, she's not going to be wearing athletic clothes. Like, I better like show up and like, I'm going to wear a sundress and flip flops and show her, look, I'm cool too. And she was in full like gear, ready to wrestle, and looked at my like white Irish factory feet and was like, what are you? We were supposed to. It's like, I'm so sorry.
Wow. I mean,
honestly, I would have told her flat out. I would have been like, I assume you were going to show up as fancy Allison Brie.
Why didn't I do that?
Oh my God. Wait, did they? So then, do you mind if I ask? Did they have you do the? They just had you chemistry test with like the wrestling, or was it like the first scene where you guys were in the locker room? Or?
They did. What scenes were? It was the scene in the car, I think, in the pilot, and then the scene where I come in with the baby and yell at her.
Which is a scene and a half.
Truly, like, the thing that hooks you. You're like, I have to fucking watch this scene. Fucking show.
I also, like, thanks for that, making that the audition scene.
Oh,
guys.
My God.
Like, it's crazy. The gene or whatever the brain trick it takes to do that in an audition room is completely different than doing it on camera.
Yes.
Like some people can turn it on for an audition and then it's two totally different muscles.
Wow.
But whatever.
That's also a tough scene on the page.
Of course.
You have to really make that work because that the believing that she's going to kick her ass right then and
right,
there
right.
is a tough turn.
Yeah.
And it's one that, like, you guys really made it sing. But it was, and it's a really important scene because it's the crux of the whole series, really.
Right.
Yeah. But for the Sam Jones thing, I think you just mentioned this thing where you were like, you know, most of, like, as a defense mechanism, something that kicks in your brain is that, like, well, I'm not going to get this. I'm not right for this. But then you were like, but then, like, sometimes there's this 1 centimeter tall person in your brain that's just like, maybe I'm right for this.
Yeah.
And, like, that's like, oh, like why? Like, the access to that thing is so hard.
It's so hard. And also, I think I did a lot of unhelpful associating, like, needing to keep parts of my identity around because I was like, oh, that's what makes me creative is hating myself. Oh, or the, wow. what gives me access to this is, you know, not liking my face or like having my picture taken. Yeah, like that keeps me. And it, I realized like, oh, that's been so, that's the reason I didn't get this and this. Wow. I've been standing in my own way over and over and over again. Just because what I want, like, street cred with myself when I'm falling asleep, it doesn't feel good.
Wow.
Yeah.
Street cred with myself when I'm falling asleep. That's like, yeah, like, why? Mm.
It's not cool to be negative.
To, like,
you know what I mean? Yeah. I think that's a thing.
Like, to self-legitimize or whatever and be like, well, I better be true to who, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes you just mythologize in this way that's so not productive.
I know.
It's like that thing of, like, they say you go into the audition, like, and you should act like you already have the part.
Right.
That is, it's hard to get there.
Right.
Especially
yes.
when another, like, sect of people might tell you, like, just do it, let it go. You probably won't book it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like those two competing things.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like the thing to do is what we were talking about before of being like, the carpet I'm standing under over has maggots and
magic.
Yeah. Like, it's not like I'm amazing and fuck it all. It's like, this could be magical. This could be terrible. And also, it doesn't matter. The people behind the table are just as scared and lonely and afraid of being found out as I am.
And they want you to be good.
Yeah, right.
They're
right.
Really, that's the thing too, is I keep reminding myself, is they want to find the right person.
Right. Yes.
Like, enthusiastically.
But you show up, you don't know what the outcome is, and then you just roll the dice. Oh my God, you're incredible, Betty.
I also now remember, like, you were fully on that show with Sunita.
Yes.
Which is just, like, so crazy that she came from our, like, community.
I mean, I went to her wedding.
Yes.
And it was, I mean, talk about culture.
Culture.
Like, oh, culture. I wasn't aware. I grew up eating dry chicken.
Please say. Yeah.
It looked like the most beautiful ceremony.
Oh, boy. And there were moments, I hope Sandy's okay with me saying that, where Kenny... I'm married to Kenny.
You're married to Kenny.
I mean, you know, it's very theatrical. Have you ever been to an Indian wedding?
I've never been to one myself. No.
It's like you're watching a play, like a gorgeous, beautiful play, and they translate what everything that's about to happen. They're like, and now the husband takes a walk with the father, and they talk about the moon, and
really?
And then it happens before your eyes, and everyone was in tears, and then there, Suni. You could tell, they told us it was going to happen because the whole thing is scripted, that Suni bows to Kenny, and then unscripted, Kenny bowed to Suni.
Oh my God.
And the whole crowd was like, and then everyone was like,
oh my God.
So beautiful.
I stand Jesus. A cathartic moment for the whole audience.
For the whole audience.
That is.
It was
so
magical.
Good.
Perfect.
Yeah. I love her so much.
She's so great.
Yeah.
She's been a star since day one. Yeah.
And really, she was my entry point to you guys because I was like, who are these people liking her Instagram?
I
want to view them.
She introduced me to you at the table read for Isn't It Romantic?
Yes.
And back then,
because Bowen and Betty have shared the screen.
I was a very sycophantic. I was like, you're amazing. And I still am. But, like, anyway, that was our first meeting.
And I love that movie.
I recently
watched it, and I saw that you saw I watched it.
That's a movie about magic and maggots.
Magic and maggots. Yeah,
and I think that movie is underrated. And I wanted more Betty in it.
I know.
Betty got cut.
BSJ was saying that all the supporting characters got cut.
I know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is such a bummer.
A cool 80-minute runtime.
Yeah.
Like, I get it, but I want, like, when they were doing that part where it looked like they were going to do, like, the changing montage, and then they didn't do it, I was like, I get the comedic choice that we're making to not do it, but, like,
I know.
You want to do it.
I know. It's so crazy. It's crazy to do something and then give it to someone else and be like, see you in a year. Good luck changing that into something. I don't know what it's going to be. I mean,
right.
It's crazy.
So the theater that you did like throughout your 20s, was that like collaborative stuff or was it kind of just like, did you ever like part of creating things or?
No, yeah. I was very, you know, I grew up, my parents are actors and were mostly stage actors. Mm-hmm. And even though, like, growing up, I was like, wow, they're avant-garde. And now I'm like, oh, they're still, even though they're actors, they're still very old school. Like, you did summer stock, and you did A.R. Gurney plays, and you did restoration comedies, and that's due in theater. And
that's due in theater. Another frontrunner for title of and sure, that's due in theater.
Please don't. although, I should say, my dad was one of the founders of EST. So dad, you're cool. Oh. Mom, you're cool too. Whatever.
Both cool. Wait, this is a good entry point for the question.
Because that's my answer to the question.
Oh, great. Okay.
Is it? Ask it though officially.
Just for forensic purposes, we'll ask Betty the question. What is the culture that made you say culture is for you? And so growing up in theater.
It's so boring that it's not theater. I mean, I was like on the way over, I was like, magazines? But 17 magazines. No.
We love 17.
Weren't you like stage managing when you were like a tween or something?
Yes. So I definitely grew up. I grew up in the South Street Seaport in New York.
I love the Seaport.
Yeah, I mean,
I do.
Famously,
put it on my tombstone.
Loves the Seaport.
I mean, I wish we had that built. My dad bought with his friend a 4-story building for, I believe it's $35,000.
Wow.
And doesn't own it anymore. And now it's worth $13 million.
You have to be joking. Yum, yum.
But it was like, it was a super old, like the cobblestone streets and everything. Yes. And the ceiling of was like made of old ship parts. Like,
wow.
It was cuckoo. It was amazing. And, but like the size of this room, our apartment.
Yeah.
I grew up with my parents doing off-Broadway theater and regional theater. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, I always have been like, oh, it's theater that it really is. It's like the culture around, it's like backstage culture.
Uh-huh.
Like, I think what I'm drawn to is people who are quote unquote forced to be together, like tech culture.
Yeah,
like
tech culture.
Sitting around being like, oh, we have to be here for 12 hours. Let's get into it. Like my mom in a wig cap and a hoop skirt being like, come in and shut the door. We have to talk about you know who. Like,
yes.
I mean, just watching her hold court. And that was culture to me.
Yeah, because and I'm not going to mention it, but like you've made content that is so specific to this.
Right.
My favorite
it's
content.
It's just these isolated lines of like someone in a dressing room or in a trailer just being like.
Telling the tea.
Oh my God. Like
extolling.
Yes.
So good.
Yes.
It's so good. Oh wait, okay, so fate. Okay, so like, yeah, like beyond just like just the closeness that you're sort of forced into with tech culture, I guess. Like tech culture. I think it's tech culture.
It's so great.
It's also like seeing people in moments that if they were like, oh, make a TV show about my life, do all these moments. And you're like, I'm actually, it's the tech.
Yes.
Like, or the, you know, them in a wig cap, you know, with food on their face being like, I don't know, guys, today I shit my pants. Like, it's people not at their worst, but kind of at their between or something. And I'm also realizing, like, I was seeing actors at, you know, in my mind at the time, I was like, the top that you can be at the Long Wharf Theater in New Haven or the Cape Playhouse. And, you know, they were all on their way somewhere or on their way back down. It was like dames who had been up here and who were now doing the Cape Playhouse or like ingenues who were like Cape Playhouse en route to something else.
Mm-hmm.
Like kind of seeing the between moments.
Wow.
Yeah.
And just betweens like on some smaller microcosmic scale and then betweens on a larger life.
Right.
Thing,
I guess that's what fucks with my brain so much about press is that there's suddenly this thing of like, oh, now we all have to pretend that we're these perfect, like when I go sit and talk to Jimmy Kimmel or whatever, professional artists have been working on my face and hair and body for 2 hours before you've seen me. And I fit with a stylist and like it's tailored within an inch of my, like it's the opposite of between culture. It's like the most
binary thing. Either you're ready or you're not.
Yes. Right. Right.
Like go out there, you know.
Yeah. There's no like wink at the smoke and mirrors.
No. Right.
There's no maggots or magic.
There's no maggots or magic.
No. And it's so confusing to me.
And then there's like, especially like, you start where you start, which is truly the love for the craft. Like you love even the tech of it all.
Oh my
and
God.
Then you get to this place where you're on a hit show on Netflix and they nominate you for an Emmy. And then you go to the Emmys and it's like, what the fuck? It's like, that's like the height of it, right?
Right.
That, like prodding out of like, which one will it be?
Right.
It's like crazy.
Yes. Yeah. I feel like I've been thinking about it like, and I play, so often I play characters who are like, I've entered the room and think I'm fantastic.
Yes, and that's, it is, it's part of what you do,
Which is crazy, but I try to like, it's like in theater school or whatever, I also, by the way, I'm not one of those actresses who was like, why did you make me leave the house? Putting on a show.
Yeah, of course.
This is, my dream is, it's crazy. I'm a show person and I'm not like, why didn't you just let me write in my journal?
I wanted to be alone with the mice.
Right. It's just here's what it is. It's like, I love the soul church feeling or whatever, like the Joan of Arc monstery part down here, like and channeling that into a scene, like screaming with your baby or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then in order to get those parts, you have to kind of commute through this like Kylie cell of like you go up here and you put on fake eyelashes and you pose through it and you answer Miley or Madonna questions you're kind
Miley
of like
or Madonna.
You like cutesify yourself a little bit, but you got to keep that trap door open to the Joan of Arc parts,
right?
Because if you stay too long up here, that trap door is going to cement over and you'll be this person forever. And that's what I'm talking about of like, that's what scares me.
Yes.
That's why I'm always like, for the last Kimmel appearance, I wanted to tell the story of shitting my pants at Nurse Jackie. That'll keep the trap door open. Like, I'll be whatever Kylie Barbie person, but I'll be telling a story about the grossest, craziest stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like, I'll still be me. And the guy on the phone was like, don't tell this story. Please don't. Because to me, it was a metaphor for like, I had to be naked a ton on that show. So I'd like started to treat myself like, oh, the reason you're here is the Kylie Barbie stuff, not the Joan of Arc
dangerous
stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I could feel the trapdoor slowly closing. Mm. And I feel like shitting my pants was like the Joan of Arc part, like kicking it open, being like, you're a fucking monster.
It is that thing, that mix of like needing to play the game and also,
I know,
wanting to fucking act,
which you and I kind of talk about. I mean, it's a totally different scale and it's a different sort of exposure, of course, but it's also like sometimes we're like, oh, we didn't think we would have to do this part and have to like cutesify and really just like reduce our friendship, our 11 12 year friendship at this point down to like 3 bullet points.
It's funny, like when we have to go into rooms and like pitch our friendship.
We have our whole thing.
We have a set.
Crazy. Yes, right. Do you do things to water it to keep the realness of it?
I mean, it was funny because the one time we were in Los, we can share this. We were in a little bit of a spot, he and I, and we were kind of like a little bit of a like rough week, and we would have to go pitch ourselves. Because Las Culturistas, for a minute there, was going to get pitched as a TV show.
Wow.
And so we would like, we were going from place to place.
Yeah.
And we were just like, ah, like everything's great. And then silent in Ubers.
Wow. I'm furious. You just.
Yeah.
I mean, but it kind of like, it gives it this topography that like I would not trade.
It was a very interesting.
Yeah.
To be in Los Angeles doing that, I was like, huh. This is what this is. And like that was just like truly part of the ebb and flow of our anyone's friendship.
It started to feel like merrily we roll along. It started to feel like just like this partnership just breaking down over like reverse time or whatever.
Well, I feel for you guys because it must be, the world is so thirsty for authenticity and things being actually funny and mm-hmm. like you guys mm-hmm. being so in touch with things that are becoming extinct. Mm-hmm. Like being actually, you're so fucking hilarious and smart, you guys. It's you're basically the last few people on Earth. So congratulations. But it's like, I wonder if it's a matter of like keeping that trap door stapled open and being like, that's our thing, that we just have constant access to that instead. But sometimes it can totally feel like you've like that Jimmy Kimmel thing. Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to feel like I've got the track. Is this metaphor tracking?
No, yes. Okay. Yes, okay, very much so. Yes.
So to me, I was like, this is going to be my way of holding it open and being like, yes, I'm in these clothes, but here's a dark, weird part of me that is real. And I sat down and there were so many checkpoints in my brain that I realized like, oh, it actually is like, was a Joan of Arc monster part of me that I then like threw a bow on and some lip gloss on and was like, come on, honey, like we got to sell this thing. Uh-huh. And that part of me was like, and now you hurt me. And I, you know, it's so hard to navigate when you're doing that and when you're not.
I know. Yeah. Oh.
It's been, I will say, it's been kind of nice and I feel lucky. I don't know how you feel, but at least over the past couple of years, I kind of was like, if you commit to being yourself,
yeah,
that actually is what it is. Like whoever you are, as long as you commit to that,
yeah,
like and are that truthfully, whether that's a funny person, whether that's a very smart person, a very talented person, I think as long as you commit to being who that is, and of course there's those little moments where you feel like you have to you know, negotiate what people want from you,
right.
But it's about figuring out like, well, how do I be me in this scenario?
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I think that's. When as the stakes have gotten a little bit higher, like, you know, and things happen, it's just every time I go on a podcast and I'm being myself, it's like recently I had someone like attack me for using a certain word. Mm-hmm. Like I used the word I shouldn't say it now and I'm going to make an effort, but I used the word psycho to say something was like crazy,
right?
Or like bad. I use it was cuckoo. Yeah, so mm-hmm. I used the word psycho and someone like really was like, hey, I'm a psychotic, and like that really hurt me when you said that. And I was like, well, I mean, this is just going to come with the territory. It's like, right. A, you're going to have to be more careful about yes. what you do and like hear people because right. what he's saying is a real thing. Right. And B, it's like, I would never have thought that. But that's right. just, mm-hmm. it's just like you learn that and you take that and then you're just going to take that. And that's part of what you know now. And then you just you try your best to be yourself at your yeah. best the next time.
But knowing yourself is not thinking of yourself as like a fixed point. It's thinking of yourself in terms of these axes of like, I'm a Joan of Arc or I'm a Kylie.
Right,
like,
right, right, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, yeah.
And it's hard to know when that stuff is helpful and when it's not. Like emotionally cutting, the next day I watched the first part of it, the Kimmel thing, and then mm-hmm. scrolled right down to the comments.
Yep, you always yeah, do. Yeah, I do.
I get it.
There were like three compliments that I just didn't even see. It went right through my brain.
Oh.
And one person wrote, like. She says like a billion times. Oh. She's a ditz. What is her purpose? I was
God.
You have to watch that, Betty. Next time, don't say like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't even do that in real life. Come on. Like, you don't like. You don't want to... appear stupid. And then I was like, no.
Yeah, who cares?
Wait, then you'll just, no words will come out of your mouth.
Right.
It will be only checkpoints and no content. It will be only Kylie and no Joan of Arc.
And the trapdoor is sealed.
Exactly. Yes. And the trapdoor will have closed.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
We must keep it open.
No, we must keep it open. I can't believe we're, this is soul church to me, just soul talking church. To you and
yes,
coffee shop timbre. You're just incredible, Betty. For what it's worth, we just fucking love you.
I mean, it is when I say it's my favorite performance on television, I'm 100% being real.
Because
it's fun, but it's also so emotionally grounded. Like
thank
that
you so
fourth
much.
Episode of the second season. Whoa. Like I would have gotten this. It was, did you remember this one? It was like kind of sort of like very, very Debbie and also very, very Welfare Queen.
Yeah,
it was
like
a motherhood episode.
Yes, yes, yes.
And it was the episode where her son comes and sees her. Her son goes to Stanford. And
is it when she goes to Stanford?
Weekend,
or when then, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And he says, well, I want to see what you do, because she gets recognized from the show. And he goes and sees her. And it's this horrible sort of like very, very, very devastating moment where she's playing this racial stereotype.
Yes, Kia Stevens is the actress.
Kia Stevens. Yeah. Has a phenomenal Instagram. She's an actual wrestler too.
Yeah, pro
wrestler.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Kia Stevens is amazing.
She's
right there. She's mm-hmm. this scene was
and the son too.
Yeah,
very good
yes. actor.
Yeah. There was just that moment, and then he was, you know, he accepted her at the end, because I think that, you know, this is another thing about the show, is it was hard. It's hard for actresses, even
right.
now.
Yeah.
Like, you get the work and you do the work, and then you have questions about the work. I mean, Sunita's character, especially.
And
I mean,
sometimes gay men will play star or actress about.
I know. I love that game. I want to play it on my. Yeah. It is confusing because I feel like GLOW is a good metaphor for, you know, whatever the girls in it think they're doing this weird, cool thing with their imagination and powerful thing with their bodies. Mm-hmm. And because they're women in tiny costumes, it's viewed with the male gaze first.
Right.
And like, what's the expiration date on that? Like, right. I do have that question to the world that I don't want an answer to comment section of like, hey, thanks for letting me be here. This is so amazing. I never thought this would happen. Is it because of the Joan of Arc stuff or the Kylie stuff? Because the Kylie stuff's going to go away. My tits are going to be in my shoes. This Irish face, genetically, I was meant to like write a long poem in an attic and die at 40. Like, she's not meant for HD cameras.
Oh my God.
So like, there's stuff that's going to expire. I do like, quick. So, and I want to be here for a long time.
Yes, and you will.
Well, but it's the real thing.
Yes, I get what you're saying.
But up here, you're asking that question because it's like, especially in a show like GLOW, where it is like, you know, you look at the marketing, and of course there are going to be a lot of people out there that are like, women wrestling.
Right.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's good. But then you watch the show and it's really just, it's just this great story.
But also when I play a lawyer, I'm in hair and makeup for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. I never, ever get recognized because A, I'm fucking nobody, but also B, like they beat my face.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like for any part. Mm-hmm. And it's sometimes I'm like, is that always going to be the thing I have to do? Because I don't know. Who knows?
I hear what you're saying. I think that like, yeah, I mean, for me, it's just what moves, of course, me, like a gay man, like just loving the like, I love actresses acting all the time. But it's like, for me, it's just like, this second season, like, I really thought I thought the first season was great. I think the second season is fantastic.
Mm,
and I really thought that the way that they handled the Me Too storyline was very interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because if you remember, you know, your character sort of says like, what the fuck?
Which is, that's a fucking incredible scene.
Which is, you know, you see it even now on Big Little Lies with Meryl Streep's character and the way that she deals with Nicole.
Haven't watching it.
Okay, you will absolutely be on the floor.
Yeah, it's
like very Big Little Lies. Like, it is comically, it's like overdrawn, but
that's
in like
what
a beautiful
I want.
Way.
Yeah,
it's
like,
fun.
I
candy.
Want them to be literally eating the walls.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they are.
Chewing the scenery.
Okay. But did you correct me, bitch?
Wow.
I'm just trying to find another way around it.
I was supporting
it.
This.
Okay, bitch. He's mad because I haven't been over to his apartment.
Oh, my God.
But like, this is so interesting that like, your character was like, that's what this is to Alison Brie when she rebuffs the advances of an executive.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's just, that was such like a, it almost to me like really showed like, this is like a psychology thing that's been in many women for so long. It's not like we all like even thought this could be different. This is a psychology. This is a thing that has been ingrained.
I think that that's something that our show does well, that I feel like there's this trend happening where we really want to talk about erasure, like erase, like have the outwardly mwahaha characters be the ones who are racist and sexist, and have everyone else have only scenes be like, that guy's wrong. And the end it's in the groundwater. Like, I'm sure if any of our parents or any generate, like anyone over 40 or 30, like was interviewed for a long time, they'd say things where you're like, ooh, don't say that.
Right.
And I think we're doing ourselves a disservice to write scenes that are, it's just washing away the fact that there's a racist, sexist person in every single brain.
Absolutely.
No matter how big or small that person is.
Yes.
And it's about killing that person and being honest about that person in your own brain.
It's its own delusion to write, you know, two moralistic things where, you know, these characters have consonant world views with yours. It's like, no, it's like just...
Yeah.
Part of me watching it was like, there was an instinct to me when Mark Maron's character was like, fuck that guy. I was like, are we letting this kind of white guy like be the one to be like, fuck him?
Right.
Then I was like, I actually think it's just a more truthful sort of very character driven thing for Debbie to be like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, especially with the baggage between them. And I kind of was like, I think it's really dynamic and interesting what they did.
Mm.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I loved it.
It's perfect. I think it's time.
Oh, wow.
Is it time?
I think it's time for I don't think so, honey.
Okay. So this is, I don't know if you know, but this is our segment that we do. And by the way, we should say, we are going to be on tour.
Yes.
We announced 4 new dates. Are you an Orlando queen?
Do I go to Orlando?
Or do you like do you enjoy the parks the park experiences?
I know that you're very pro Disney.
Yes.
I've never been to Disneyland. Okay. I would love for you to someday.
Honestly,
guide me.
We should go. See, the next time you're in LA and I'm in LA, we're gonna go.
Great.
Because also a lot of cool new stuff will be open, like Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, and also we can go over to Universal Studios Hollywood and do the new Jurassic World The Ride.
Now I talked.
Bryce Dallas Howard and Chris Pratt have filmed new scenes
I love that.
Iconic Bryce Dallas, who I'm gonna say
what?
Star. But actress.
Wow.
I think actress and star.
Agree.
I think
absolutely.
Can I say something about Bryce Dallas?
Come on.
Bryce Dallas Howard. You never every time she's on screen, I'm like, this is crazy. I was like, this is crazy. Like, because you would never like pick Bryce Dallas Howard. Oh, but then you start just hear me out.
What?
But then you start watching her and you're like, the choices.
Yeah.
The theatricality.
You would never pick Bryce Dallas
No, because every time, for example, for Bryce Dallas Howard to be the lead of Jurassic World, the films, it's like kind of kooky. Because you think they're going to go for like someone like a Jennifer Lawrence. You know what I mean? You think they're going to go for someone that's like Bryce Dallas Howard, but then, I don't know, she got that iconic haircut. She makes choices every single time. Her and the help
the
is.
Hair. You are obsessed with the blunt bang or whatever.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I love the well, we should just producer Emma just came
Hot
in the
producer
studio
Emma just
and
we
haven't seen her in some
Dutch embroidered.
It's,
oh my
you
God,
look great.
Amazing.
But anyway, I'm talking about Bryce Dallas Howard, so sit down, shut up.
Stop it.
All right. So Bryce Dallas Howard, I feel like I watched her in Rocket Man. Did you see Rocket Man?
No, I haven't yet.
You got to go. It's good. Also, and I have PTSD from Bohemian Rhapsody, but Rocket Man is good.
I never saw that either.
Ugh, don't. Mm. But anyway, Bryce Dallas is in it, being a cartoon villain, but we love. And Bryce Dallas, never forget, Slade, Black Mirror. It's actually Real Culture number 66. Bryce Dallas, Slade, Black Mirror.
Thank you, Betty.
She did.
And also, I think it is the cardinal sin of Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom that she wasn't in a more chopped bang and a higher heel. They gave her a ponytail and a flat.
Ooh.
I said the iconic moment in Jurassic World was her running from the T-Rex in the heels.
Yeah.
And did you see Jurassic World?
Yes.
And the kitten.
We can't argue that wasn't the iconic moment.
But it's like she also like has had the resume. Like she was in Spider-Man 3. Like she's like done a big blockbuster movie. Like she's not like a total.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think it's out of left field that it was her.
Risk.
Okay. I love it. Right. I'm not saying I don't like it. I'm saying it's like, whoa, Bryce Dallas.
But
this
notion that you would never pick her, like, yeah, you would. She's been a draw. Like she's whatever. Okay.
Can I say one thing before
yes,
we go into
yes, yes, yes. Say.
Okay.
Say whatever you want.
Okay. Really quick. I feel like people like us, show people, weird people who were, you know, clowny, hammy, putting on a show. I'm not making assumptions about.
No, we are clowny,
so
hammy.
Kids who were like that.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
realized they had that, like a dark ham person inside them, and then realize like middle school, high school, this is my experience now.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not gonna like fly. Yeah. I gotta suppress that part and just swallow that, keep that down, perch myself on like the arm of this couch and just try to enjoy you watching video games and try to get through this party or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or
yes.
And suppress. And then for me in theater school, after like whatever, swallowing that part of me for so long, finding people who were like, I went out to get Jamba Juice the first day of Fordham Theater with my first gay friend, Brendan Norton, and we went to Jamba
Juice. Shout out to her.
And he was wearing overalls and a flower crown.
Ah!
And we tried each other's smoothies. This is so weird. Tried each other's smoothies, and in the same gremlin voice,
said,
I like mine better. And I burst into tears.
When you find someone.
When you find someone, and when you, that part of you is like, hey, I'm still here. I know, like, you muffled me for so long, and I didn't fit at that keg party for so or the sticker trading in middle school or whatever, but like, I'm here, and if you water me with the right people, like, I can be the best thing about being alive. And I think that I'm so sorry, I think that's why I love your podcast so much. It's so clear that you guys found each other and that you're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing, and I'm just feel like I need to, like, pull you over on the road to greatness and be you're going the exact right way.
Oh my God. Truly, this is Betty Gilpin. Can we check in? This is unreal. Thank you so much for that. Can I ask you this? I can't. Can I ask you a question though? How proud are you of Ryder?
Oh my God, Ryder.
But that's what reminded me, like, last night we were just saying, like, I remember John early on Seek Treatment was talking about he and Kate Berlant, what it feels like to hang out with her after a long time. Mm-hmm. And just that, like, he was like, they'll laugh and be like, oh, finally a real laugh. Like, Ryder and I was like, if my brain's a house with you, I don't need to worry about vacuuming or putting up. Like, I just prop open the doors, like, let the bees fly it. Like, it just, we basically don't use English with each other and cry laugh.
I get it.
I mean, it's so good finding your people.
Yeah,
so protect
it really
your brains.
Is.
Put the coat over when you're going past the bones.
Oh, yes. Gosh.
And yeah.
Keep the trapdoor open.
Yeah, keep the trapdoor open.
Don't stay in Kylie too long. Yeah. I've learned that's this so is real. Soul Church. Oh my God.
It is
God.
Soul Church. Front runner, front, not a front, dark horse for title of EP.
Okay.
I feel like Maggots and Magic is Maggots it. Magic is that is very meaningful. That's, thank you thank so, you. So
I just,
much.
And I really mean it.
Ugh. Oh my God, I don't even know what to do with that. I'm gonna dine out on this to myself.
No, he's gonna tell,
a lot of people.
He's gonna get on the press. He's gonna get on his Instagram story.
That's it. No one's gonna
listen to
the
Kylie self.
Yep. Oh my God.
Fuck.
But anyway, wow, that was gorge. I feel like now we're gonna do I Don't Think So, Honey.
No,
Jesus.
No, are you kidding? Yes! Even I'm so nervous. I'm not
a
comedian.
No, okay, no, but you know what though? It's okay. You know how many people, non-comedians, you've had on that stage come up and do better than any of the comedians?
I'm so.
Plus, you are.
I'm so out of practice.
You, the moment in the last episode of Glee season 2 where, like,
Glee.
No, Glee. Oh my God, Glee!
I was like,
it's actually roller coaster number 100. Glow is Glee.
What was the moment?
In Glow. Netflix is Glow.
Yeah.
So there's a scene where Horatio Sands is like telling them like all about how they're gonna go to Las Vegas. Uh-huh. And Betty just goes, I'm sorry, who is this guy? Who are you? It was so funny.
Perfect.
And he's like, oh, this is like my friend. And he's like, oh. Okay, cool. Sorry. And there was music too that cut out and came back in. So fun.
Perfect.
Do you get to like, I'm not done. Do you get to like watch it before that you it goes on Netflix or you being the star of it?
Yes. They send it out to all of us on like a little secret link.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first time I've ever done this where I watched season 3 and in the final episode, I had a zit on my forehead that was. And people have died trying to climb it.
Like, oh my God.
Was casting a shadow. I can't. I emailed them being like, do we have time to touch this?
It was visible in the.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh no.
And in the moment, I remember being like, Betty, put your shoulders down. No one can see.
No,
it. Like,
honestly, go
eliminate
just
the checkpoint. Just be. And I was like, this is a career ending.
You sent
that's
an email.
Important.
I guess. And they retouched it and I watched it again and
yeah.
It's gone.
Perfect.
Here's the
everything's
deal.
A lie. My skin looks perfect. In episode 10, I was having a cystic, horrific medieval breakout.
Wait, this is crazy to me. Okay, so you're able to email them and they take that out. And you're telling me that no one noticed those coffee cups in Game of Thrones?
There you go.
I think it's on purpose.
I think because they're too scared of those actors. I think they run that show. And for someone like a 23-year-old with a headset being like, hey, we're ready to roll. Are you going to keep drinking that? Like, I think they're probably like, I'll drink when I want. And I, not that they're assholes.
Yeah, but it's just like, yeah.
It's Emilia Clarke. She's in character as Daenerys. For all you know, she could say Dracarys and it could be over.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Oh my God. Well, okay, wait. One more thing. Did you shoot the whole season 3 in Vegas?
No, it was in LA, and then we drove out to Ontario, California for the exteriors.
Okay.
Because I think probably nothing looks like 1985 Vegas.
That's true.
Yeah.
Vegas now is very Vegas now.
Yeah. Sure.
So that's the big turn. You remember, they're going to go to Vegas at the end of it.
It's the whole finale. They're on the damn bus.
Can't wait.
I know.
And now I love it because I just rewatched it, and now it's going to be back like in truly minutes.
I love that fucking show.
And I discovered you on the show, but I had been a Bree head for quite a long time.
There you go.
And we were so excited for Sunita. Same season. Yeah.
And yes.
I mean, and Suni in this season.
I can tell she's going to get a lot.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
She is, you know, it's really an all boats rising season.
Wow.
Yes, I love that.
Yes. Suni especially. Oh, my
God.
Wow. Her storyline. Woo.
Also, shout out to Chris Lowell.
Yes.
Because he is quietly slaying on that show and has been he's been really great for a long time.
And you know,
he's great.
I'm gonna cherry pick and say that this is like a straight actor playing a gay character that I'm like cool with.
Yeah.
Because I bought
because you buy it.
Because it's I don't even know the words, but it feels right to me.
Yeah.
And also I thought maybe I was making that up for a second season.
Right,
once I watched it, I was like, I don't think, but maybe yes. And then this storyline with the, you know, spoiler alert, but his best friend and butler passes away of complications related to AIDS. And the last scene you can tell there's still that panic about AIDS, and he has someone come over and clean the house and he's crying by the pool. And I'm like, that is what that looked and felt like.
Yeah.
To have that moment.
Right.
And to not even really express in any, at least at that stage of that character's sort of journey. It's like he wouldn't really even like have the language to like say. Like,
it's at that time.
Yeah.
And the tunnel vision into that marriage. Mm. You know what I mean? Just like the kind of, such good acting. There was really.
Until you fucking
see. Oh my God. I cannot wait.
There's an episode where I was standing up and screaming at my TV.
Wow.
Oh boy. It's crazy.
Fuck. Wow.
And
I'm
Miss
so
Gina.
Excited. And Miss Gina is going to be on. We cannot believe.
Fucking wait.
Ugh.
I love this show.
It's so good. Okay, anyway, so now we're going to get to I Don't Think So, Honey, but I wasn't done talking about Glee.
I can't believe
another iconic show.
Yes, about
with a large cast.
Okay, do you have something?
I have something. And it's a little bit of a twist on the form.
It's a little bit of a twist.
Which we love and stand.
This is Matt Rogers. I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. Me on a plane. Okay.
Oh.
I am disgusting. I am rude. I am short-tempered. And I am loud. Here is how all those things happen. I am that bitch that takes my shoes off on a plane. Yes.
No.
Even if it's a short flight, honey, to Nantucket, I took my kickers off and put my piggies on the ground.
Oh.
I am the person who, not bear with a sock, but that doesn't matter when you've been wearing your sock for a day. Oh, they didn't smell great. Also, I walked to the bathroom in my socks and used the bathroom
seconds.
In my socks. Couldn't be bothered to put my shoes on.
No.
I Don't Think So, Honey.
Matthew.
Me on a plane. That is disgusting. I Don't Think So, Honey. The fact that I am rude on a plane. I had to get up and check my bag for something. The flight attendant said it has to be quick. And I said, without thinking, no kidding. That was rude of me. She was doing her job. I Don't Think So, Honey. Me. I am a bitch on a plane. I Don't Think So, Honey. Me. I am loud. My headphones absolutely blare. I am always watching the same thing, which is Clueless. I watch the same film sometimes twice in a row. It comforts me. I'm not a good flyer. I Don't Think So, Honey. Me on a plane. Chill out. Take a Vike. Take a Xanax.
And that's 1 minute. Take a Vike. Take a Xanax.
No. I didn't mean Vike. I meant Xanax.
Xanax.
My best flight experience, I took half a Xanax, passed out, woke up, didn't have time to take my shoes off and be gross.
Do that with Dramamine next time. Just do Dramamine. They'll sell at the airport.
Yeah.
It's for motion sickness, but it kind of is drowsy, and so you'll...
The thing is, I'm not a good flyer, and so I do all my creature comforts to make sure I'm okay. I also always drink alcohol on a plane.
Yeah.
It's like a thing. I will knock back two IPAs in the airport, and then I'll get on there and I'll drink like a Bloody Mary in the sky. Like I'm Don Draper.
You're Great Gatsby in the sky.
I'm Great Gatsby in the sky. Wow. But I don't think so on a plane. And I've been on a lot lately and it's not good.
The shoes worry me because, okay, this is my friend last year had a mouse crawl up his pant leg.
On a plane? The mouse was in the air?
The mouse.
The mouse was 33K high.
And to save the plane, he was like, I need to be quiet and I need to not talk about this for 3 months.
Wait. So the mouse traveled up. Did he get it out?
Yeah, he just shook his leg a little bit calmly, left his body.
No.
Decided not to talk about it for a while.
Oh my God.
The plane would have crashed.
What I probably would have done. Wow, yeah. What would I have done? Because it's would you alert a flight attendant? This is a very.
Not if you're not on good terms with them.
No kidding.
Your credit score needs to be high.
I know, truly. My credit score is about 200 in the air. Honestly, like my social credit score. But I literally heard. Okay, so this is what happened. And this is a WWYD. What would you do? Mm. Yes, Matt. So
got it.
I heard what had to be a cooler tip over above me. Oh. And I said, I heard the ice go and I heard the water rush.
No.
And I said to myself in the window seat, I said to myself out loud in the window seat, I said, well, that was ice. Well, that was water and ice. And the woman next to me said, I don't know. I think it might just be the plane. I said, I'm so sorry. I'm crazy. Can you just move out of the way real quick so I can look up there and just make sure? She goes, yeah, it's probably fine. I was like, I know, I'm just annoying. And I went up there and the flight attendant said, sir, you need to be in your seat.
Yeah.
And we were on the tarmac, not having taken off yet. Nothing.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just need to check my bag. She goes, it needs to be quick. And I go, no kidding.
And I'm sorry.
It was rough.
Was it nasty? Was it ice?
No, the bag was fine. It's a mystery what it was. It was a ghost.
An ice ghost.
Nicole Byer's story about finding the little piece of dried poop in the blanket on Delta.
Horrifying.
Oh, so
wow, you really ranked Delta to filth there, bitch.
Whoa.
Sorry.
So this will actually be Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So, Honey. And his time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, Verizon Fios, specifically the technician whose name was Ian, who came into my house and like talked down to me like I was a fool. And I was like, no, like, trust me. Like, I've like done all the work here. Like, just I've done the speed test. Like, I like I'm like a dilettante when it comes to this. But I was like, it's bad. And he was like, kind of like putting the moves on me.
Shut up.
And I think he was like trying to fuck and I was like, no. Oh! And then what he did was
30 seconds.
I'm in a post private browsing with my porn on my phone. And so he, at one point he goes, let's test the connection. Give me your phone. And I was like, okay. And I gave it to him. And then he goes on my browser and starts typing I forget what, some speed test thing, speedtest.com, whatever.
Okay.
S, first thing that pops up is Sean Cody, and then he, which is a gay porn site, and he
five seconds.
He stops and he goes, and keeps, and like, it was truly embarrassing and humiliating. I don't think so, honey, Verizon Fios.
Wow.
That was not really an I Don't Think So, Honey, but it was just like me kind of retelling this harrowing tale with this technician who was like, kind of like trying to fuck, and then was just like, oh, wow.
Okay. What makes you think he was T2F.
He was just eyeing me up and down.
What?
Eyeing me up and
down. Do it to me.
No, I can't.
Do it to me.
I can't because I'm bad at just doing this to anybody when it's like, when I want to do it.
Do it to this water.
Yeah.
No. I can't do it. He was just like,
Oh, that was like really sexual.
And he, and like, and I'm just going to say the man had a lot of rings on. It was like, very, and like had like a little.
The man had a lot of rings on.
Wow. And like, you
know. Okay, bash.
It was not a bash. It was just like this, like the stuff was aligned. It was all aligning. And I was like, no, this is my night. And he didn't even fucking fix it. And my internet's still bad.
I thought you were about to say, and he didn't even fucking fuck me.
He didn't fucking fuck
and
me.
And he didn't even fuck me.
No, it was not cool. I was like, no.
Well, that sucks. All right, Verizon Fios is Ian. You've been read to filth.
You've been read to filth. Wow. Anyway.
Another question is, what will Betty Gilpin read to filth?
Heart pounding again.
Stop. No, this is this is going to be transcendent.
Right, eliminating the checkpoints.
Eliminate the checkpoints.
Keeping the Joan.
Keeping
Kylie.
The Joan. Trap door open. This is Betty Gilpin's I Don't Think So, Honey. Her time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. Using 2019... trendy empowerment as an invisibility cloak for self-promotion.
Yeah.
Interesting. Your IMDb credits are not a step forward for humanity.
Oh.
You did not become an actor because you just love humans and you want humans to do well. You became an actor because you want you to do well.
30 seconds.
Here's something that's helpful. Going to Africa and helping people. Yeah. Here's something that helps no one. Being on a multicam. Also, don't think so, honey. The commercialization of female insecurity. Let's leave the blushing and the don't look over here's to the people who actually struggle with self-hatred. Leave me something. I don't want to see you taking 1,000 selfies, white-knuckling it to the top of the mountain, getting to the top of the mountain and being like, who, me? How did I get here? I'm looking at you, Taylor Swift.
That's 1 minute!
Oh my God.
Betty Gilpin.
The fire started.
Wow. Fucking loved that. Okay. And you know what? When you guys were talking in the beginning about the hashtag right reasons to use Bachelor Nation speak.
Yes.
I kind of got in my head. I was like, am I doing this for the right reasons?
No.
And maybe. And you know what? Sometimes.
The podcast?
No, just like just this in general. Just, just showbiz. And I'm just like, sometimes I'm like, dang. I'm a fraud, well, aren't I?
But that's also like also do it for validation.
No.
Also do it.
We just don't. We just say don't pretend.
Don't pretend.
Yeah. And that's the thing with Taylor, Miss Swift. But, and I actually liked that song, the Calm Down song. You need to calm down. Until I heard the Shade thing, and I was like, that seems a little strange. And then the playing at Stonewall of it all really pushed me over the edge.
Right.
I was like, see, now this is a co-opting moment.
This is where you are just kind of centering yourself on it, but like also truly like the Taylor's the Swiftie hate that you especially got.
To be honest, I didn't get too much.
I got it from these specific people. This one person who like came for me and Joel.
Yeah, for racially
attacked Joel for saying his father doesn't love him and because oh you're an adopted child, blah 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 blah. And then coming to me and being like, well, first of all, I did a cover of Gay Rights featuring Ann Dowd, which is Matt's song.
Oh.
So I do, but it's
when you are gay.
Yes.
Yes.
Betty, oh my God. Sometime I'm going to light myself on fire.
That's what you need.
Wow.
That's what we need. Gay rights.
Gay rights. Thank
so
you so much.
I do a cover. Oh my God, incredible. And this one Swiftie comes after me. And
I know. I didn't like it at all.
Tweets me and goes, wow, y'all are bored, huh? And I go, thanks for the quote tweet. I was like not really starting it. I was just like kind of like, I see you.
Yeah.
Not like insulting her or anything. And then she's just like, well, yeah, I guess verified, but irrelevant Twitter life must be boring. And I'm like,
oh, I saw you repost that.
Must pay the bill somehow. And I was like, I told her, I was like, I have multiple revenue streams that have nothing to do with the way that you've chosen to interact with me on this
Who
website.
Who are these people? I look around in public spaces and I'm like,
is it you?
Here?
Is it you?
Yeah.
I know. And the crazy thing is they are out there in droves.
Yes. But it's like this blind, like, do you love a diva, a songstress so much that you would like go out of your way on the internet to like
sorry Kelly but no
somebody? No, sorry Kelly,
I would never ruin someone's life in the name of Kelly.
Exactly.
Because I know that she would want me to do that.
Yeah,
exactly.
For the joy of Kelly,
I celebrate
the gospel.
Kelly,
come on.
I don't tell. And also Kelly would get on her Twitter and clap down.
There you go.
I hate her, and that's why I
Taylor
stand.
Hasn't really done that yet.
No, here's the thing, and look, you can't just come out as, first of all, it's privileged to even say, I'm going to play Stonewall. It's like, what?
Yeah.
It's like, what was the process there? Also, you've done truly nothing for the gay community at all.
I mean, she's donated. I mean,
you know what? I'm not going to say she's not done nothing.
But it's just funny how everyone's like,
she's done nothing.
She really drove a lot of donations to GLAAD. Like, okay, great. We love GLAAD, but it's like,
of course.
It's a media organization that like counts like engagement with like gay media.
I think there's a thing where you have, like, when you're a successful woman, the only way that all of society is going to accept you is if you also play into this like underdog narrative of and I hate myself and why am I here?
Sure.
And it's hard to keep an underdog narrative when you're insanely successful.
Sure.
So I think she's trying to attach herself to a cause or an underdog narrative to be like, see, I'm still, you can still
the girl next door
root for me.
Yeah.
There's
sure.
still a cause to be rooted for.
Yes, great. Absolutely. It's not zero sum, I think. I don't think. It's like, I think it's good that she is like kind of like modeling a new version of allyship in 2019. But it's just like there are just these little holes that I keep poking into like the Taylor Swift, like the fandom of it all, just being like, wait, hold on.
Look, every ally, it's always good to have allies. And if anyone wants to step forward and say they're an ally, that's amazing. I support them. But like, you have to with her understand totally. That it's always a business decision.
But with what Betty's saying, which is like, yeah, the whipsaw in all this is that she's so successful, but then she still needs to like kind of cultivate something, water something. Yes. So right. That's tough. That's tough.
It's like Gaga on the Star Is Born tour. Like, she's someone who I look to be like, what does believing in yourself and giving no fucks look like? And then the Oscar tour, it felt all of a sudden like, whoa, I can't believe I'm here. Gee Willikers, me. I'm like, gee fucking Willikers.
Yeah, you're Lady Gaga, bitch.
You elbowed your way here.
Yeah, you
and
fought.
Like, as someone who lives in is mired in Gee Willikers, I need to get out of it and learn how to get out of it.
Yes.
And like, it's the only way that all of society is going to accept a successful woman.
That is something Beyonce does well, because she's fully out there like, this is a documentary about how I ate one apple in 4 months.
Which has its
problematic shit where it's lying. But it's like, Beyonce is literally like, she will never show up and say, she'll barely say thank you. Mm-hmm. She shows up and she says, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love.
With the Gaga Star Is Born of it all, what I choose to believe is that she was, you know, her whole career is about performing fame. And for this stage in her career, she was performing the like.
Yes, star, the humility.
The humility. The
Star Is Born narrative.
The starlet who's just like, and it couldn't have done it without that man. Like, that's like such a, such a fun, juicy, like ridiculous thing.
Yes. First,
like, and Bradley Mark, like, just so funny. And like,
also
really
the dichotomy between the performances of Shallow by herself and the performances of Shallow with him, like gingerly holding each other's fingertips as she glides up the stage at the Oscars and turns to face him while he flatly sings that first verse and then like sweeps her gown and sits on the piano and timidly sings. Meanwhile, at the Grammy, she's like, she's like fully like screaming.
Exactly.
And I'm like, Lady Gaga.
Yes. She had to play the part that she was a small town girl that they plucked out of nowhere for the film.
Honey.
Yes. You were playing to stadiums for Gia.
Honestly, we all just did a collective I Don't Think So, Honey.
We did.
Oh,
we don't think so.
We don't think so, honey. It was so amazing to have you here. I mean, like, you know now, but and you've known before, but we couldn't be bigger fans. Oh. And now
I feel the same.
Oh my god!
Sorry, I cried earlier.
No,
we truly cried.
I left my body.
I left my body. In fact, season three of Glow. I almost said as a joke, season three of Glee again, but like, it's no joke. Glee has been canceled for years. Glow is still on, honey, and it's coming back on August 9th.
Betty Gilpin.
Love you guys. Thank you so much.
Oh my god.
Wait.
We'll
sing a quick little song.
We do finish every episode with a song.
I know that.
Tell me something, girl.
Oh, no. Bye.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.